Welcome to Real Shalom, where peace is possible. Real Shalom focuses on real people, sharing their struggles and coming to a belief in Jesus as Messiah, and their personal and family struggles afterward. Hear their struggles and how they attain the peace that only God can provide. Today's speaker is Dan Bergman.
Hi, this is Dan Bergman, and I would just like to talk with you for a little bit about the idea of joy. In our world today, there are so many people that seemingly have it all. They may have money, they may have fame, they may have all kinds of pleasure, and yet it's not enough. I think of those who have at their disposal millions of dollars. And you might think that that kind of person should be happy. That kind of person should be fulfilled. They should have joy. They should have some kind of peace. I mean, you would think with having all of those things, it would bring some degree of happiness or fulfillment. And yet, we find that that's not the case. Just look at the newspaper headlines. It seems like every week they are riddled with people who seemingly have everything, and yet they're searching for peace and joy and fulfillment in drugs, in fame, and that ends up not being enough. They end up taking their own lives, and it's not uncommon at all to hear something like that. So where do we find joy? Where do we find happiness? Well, first of all, we need to distinguish happiness from joy. Our English word happy, or happiness itself, is linked to an idea of circumstances and your experiences bringing you that feeling of fulfillment and that feeling of happiness. Joy, however, the biblical idea of joy, it's independent of circumstances. You can be going through all kinds of incredible trials and tribulations, and you can have joy in the midst of those things. How is that possible? That seems to be contradictory to what we have learned and know about how to really be happy. If you talk to people in the secular realm, if you talk to people even in the religious realm, if they're not biblical, if they are not searching through what the Bible actually teaches, they're going to come up wrong. They're going to come up empty. Psychology and just our culture says that you want to be happy? Well, go and drink. Go and do drugs. Go and fulfill yourself with all the pleasures that you can possibly imagine, and then you will finally have happiness. Just one more dollar. Just one more. And then you will be happy. Or maybe happiness is found in a relationship with a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. All of those things. Fame, money, relationships, even family. It can all go sour. If we're counting on those things to bring us joy, we're going to be absolutely, absolutely empty-handed. Do you remember King David? The greatest king probably that Israel ever had. He did some pretty awful things. For the most part during his life, he followed the Lord. He followed God. But there was some times where he did some things that were pretty heinous. He ended up committing adultery with another man's wife. He ended up having that man killed to cover up his sin, and he ended up lying about it. And then for quite a while, anyway, he remained silent on the matter. He didn't come back to God. He didn't repent. He didn't turn to God for forgiveness until he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. And David immediately realized, it's like the blindness came off. Oftentimes we're blind to our own sin. We're blind to what is wrong in our lives. We're blind to what we're guilty of. And everybody that we talk to, every opinion that you read, especially from psychiatry and self-help, is trying to tell you that you're the victim and that everybody else is wrong but you, and you're entitled, and you should have pride in who you are, and you are a wonderful person. Let me tell you this much. You, listening to me right now, you have extreme value. But the value that you have is not in and of yourself. The value that you have is not what you can do, where you come from, how much money you have, what you have to offer. That does not contribute to your value. Your value is extremely high because God placed that value upon you. He created you in His image, and He loves you. He loves you enough to give you His own word throughout the centuries. Through prophets, His word has come, and you have it because He loves you and He holds you in enough value to give you that. But that doesn't stop there. There's prophecies in the Tanakh, in the scripture, about how God would Himself provide a way for you to have righteousness. Not through something that you would do, not through your own merit, not through keeping a certain set of rules or standards, but given to you as a gift from God Himself. After David was confronted by Nathan the prophet about his sin, and David confessed his sin, he admitted that he had done such horrible acts against God. He says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned," talking to God. And it's recorded for us in the 51st Psalm. But verse 12 of Psalm 51 says something very interesting. Psalm 51, verse 12 says, and this is David pleading with God, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Biblically, our joy is linked inseparably to God. In the most basic fashion, our joy comes from Him. Now, we will get more specific as we go on. But David said that joy, true joy, is God's deliverance. True joy is God saving him, God's salvation. There's all kinds of things in this world that we're involved with and confronted with, and there's consequences to those things, consequences in this life and in the next life, in the world to come, where we have to be accountable. We're accountable here to the law of the land. But beyond that, and most importantly, as David recognized, even though he had committed adultery and had somebody killed, he recognized that he was accountable first and foremost, and he even uses the word only. He's accountable to God. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. God will not look over sin. He will not just wink at sin. He won't just let it pass by and say it's okay, because that would be an infringement on His holiness. So how do we find joy? Well, David's son Solomon, you remember Solomon? He was a good king. He was a very wise man, but there came a point in his life that he walked away from God. He drifted away from God and his relationship with the God of Israel. He had hundreds and hundreds of wives. Many of these wives worshipped other gods, and he was taken away from worshipping the God of Israel. In doing so, he fell into all of these different traps and sins and vanities and looking for hope, looking for joy, looking for peace, looking for fulfillment in every single corner and finding none. We find in the book of Ecclesiastes, or Kohelet, the preacher, it's Solomon describing how he came up empty, looking for joy and peace in everything else. In the end, he said, let us hear the sum of the whole matter. And what did he come down to? What did he come down to is important. He said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Follow God. A relationship with God is the only way to really have true joy. How can you have joy, fill in the blank, when you lose your job, when you lose your spouse, when wars are being threatened from every border, when the stock market is crashing, when your health is declining, when everything seems to be falling apart? All of those things that so many people depend on for their source of happiness, source of joy, source of fulfillment, all of those things fade away. All of them. I mean, Solomon constantly in the book of Ecclesiastes uses the word vanity. All of these things are vanity and vexation of spirit. They're empty. They're shallow. They are of no help in this life. So I want you, I don't know what you're going through, and maybe you've looked for joy in all of these different areas. Sexual fulfillment, monetary fulfillment, fame, position, status. All of those things can be taken away in an instant. So how do we find joy? Listen to this. This is from Isaiah 61 in verse 10. Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Can we achieve righteousness? Can we achieve perfection? Can we achieve to God's standard? The Bible says in the book of Psalms that there's none righteous, no, not one. We can't achieve to God's standard, and that's a problem. No matter how hard we try, we are always going to come up short in one area or another. That's why the sacrificial system was instituted, so that the children of Israel would know that they can't possibly keep the whole law in every point. In the book of James, who was a Hebrew Christian, he was a Jewish believer, pastor in Jerusalem. And in the book of James, it says that if a person keeps the whole entire law, okay, you keep all the Torah, you keep all of those commandments, and yet you offend in one point, just one, you're guilty of the whole thing. You see, it only takes one blemish to make something unclean. It only takes one spot, like an ink blot on a white dress shirt, or maybe a little bit of arsenic, okay, in somebody's soup. Just a little tiny bit. It spoils the whole thing. We need to have salvation and forgiveness and righteousness from an outside source. It can only come from God. So our joy is dependent upon our relationship with him. Now in Isaiah chapter number 59, the Lord says, through the prophet, he says to Israel, he said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Biblically, our sin separates us from God. Like I said before, that's why there was the sacrificial system. And that sacrificial system continued year after year after year while there was an active Levitical priesthood in the tabernacle and in the temple. There hasn't been a sacrificial system for almost 2,000 years. And those sacrifices which were offered every single year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and throughout the entire year otherwise, for different sins that would be committed. Different types of offerings would be given. Those never took away sin. Those never gave salvation. Those never gave righteousness. But rather, through obeying God's command, God allowed the children of Israel to have a corporate fellowship with Him as a nation. God was able to dwell among them if a very, very strict set of actions were taken. And if all of those stipulations were complete, God would then dwell among them. But it was never for taking away their sin and their guilt. It only appeased His wrath for another year, held off His judgment on them as a nation. So how do we obtain salvation? Well, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that Abraham, he believed God. He believed what God had said. And the Bible says it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You see, righteousness, true righteousness, doesn't come through an outward set of actions. It doesn't come through keeping this or keeping that or doing this or doing that or doing all these things right. If our joy is dependent on that, it's going to fall apart. If our salvation is dependent on that, boy, is that a shaky ground. That's not even something that you can stand on, because it's dependent upon you. But the Bible says that righteousness and salvation, deliverance, forgiveness, all comes from God Himself. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, in the New Testament, it talks about how Jesus was born according to the prophecies that were given in the scripture of how the Messiah would come into the world, where He would be born and who He would be born to. He would be born in the town of Bethlehem, as foretold in the book of Micah. He would be born to a virgin, not a young woman, but a woman who had specifically not known a man physically, a woman who had not had sexual intimacy with a man, would be the mother of the Messiah. Okay? And it says in verse 8, in Bethlehem, Luke chapter 2, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Listen to this. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, the Lord." The angels were announcing to the shepherds in Bethlehem that the Messiah had just been born in Bethlehem. Skip forward to the book of John, chapter 15. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and this is getting close to the point where He is going to be crucified for your sin and for mine. And He says to them in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." According to Jesus the Messiah, you can have joy that is full. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy." Fullness of joy comes from being in God's presence. You can't be in God's presence unless you have your sin problem taken care of. I mean, that just seems logical. Think about the high priest on the Day of Atonement. He could not go beyond the veil if he had not performed the proper set of actions to become ritually clean before God. It was a very serious matter. I don't know why we think we can come before God with all of our baggage and all of our sin and all of our wickedness and still be accepted in His sight. He has made provision for us to be accepted, but it's based on Him and what He has done through the Messiah. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you," Jesus says. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The real way to have true and lasting joy is through having a relationship with God, the Creator, having forgiveness, having deliverance, having salvation. One more passage I'd like to share with you. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 6 says this. For when we were yet without strength, well, we were lost and undone and full of sin and wickedness. The Bible says, in due time, Messiah died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah, Jesus, died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See, all of those sacrifices in the ancient people of Israel, in the Levitical system, they pointed to something. They pointed to a greater sacrifice. The prophecies about the Messiah in Isaiah 53, that he would be stricken for the transgression of Israel, that he would be cut off from the land of the living, that he would be a sacrifice for sin. It's all there in Isaiah 53. But it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus the Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. Joy is knowing that your sins are forgiven. Joy is knowing that you have a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe, that he will now hear your prayers because your sins have been taken care of, that you've accepted his payment for your sins. Have you ever done that? If you doubt what I'm saying is true, look into these passages. Look into Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 53. Look into the book of Ecclesiastes. Look into Psalm 51 and see if what I'm saying is true. But you can also look on the TV, you can look on the newspaper, magazine shelf, and find out how many people that have everything that this world has to offer are dying inside. They're just so empty and depressed that they are drowning themselves in alcohol and drugs. And they are taking their own life when they realize that they cannot possibly find fulfillment and joy. If you have never come to the place where you've realized that Jesus is the one prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures, that he is the one that came to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could have joy, I encourage you to trust him as the Messiah today. If you would like to get a hold of us, if you'd like to talk to somebody, you can send us an email at contact@shalomshalom.info. He is the only way to have true peace and true joy. I encourage you to trust him. Shalom.
You've been listening to Real Shalom, where peace is possible.